We come into a Christmas season. Everybody is thinking about gifts. What am I going to get? And what is somebody going to give me? You know, it's amazing when you get older, which is, that's like Chris down here, not me. When you get older, you start thinking, oh, I really don't need anything. I don't. And then somebody will give you something. Oh, you shouldn't have done that. I don't want that type of thing. But then you get it, and you're so blessed that somebody thought about you. Well, I want you to understand this. God thought about you before you were ever born. God thought about you before the earth was ever created. Matter of fact, there is no purpose for the earth without human beings. No purpose. God created the earth for us. Man, he didn't create us in the middle or at the beginning, because if he had there's no telling how long it would have taken him to create, because we would want to be involved in it. Well, I don't think that tree doesn't look good. I think you better move that over here. That's the reason God gave us home network, HGTV or whatever, so we could do our own creativity. What we're creating in his image, we have creativity. God created us at the end. You know why he created us at the end? Because he wanted everything to be done and to be perfect and to be abundant and everything flow, everything good, and saying, this is all yours. I did it for you. This is all yours. And that's who God is. But there is, what really concerns me today, there is a deception that has been taking place a long time in the body of Christ, and the deception I know comes from the kingdom of darkness, but it is, that deception is heralded or preached by people. And one of the biggest deceptions is that God is behind all the evil. You know, I grew up in a church that was like this. So if anything happened to me, you lay there, suffer, because God's teaching you something. Well, I don't know what he taught me, but I don't think I learned anything. I just wanted to get out of that mess because it hurt. I didn't want it, but God's teaching you something. Well, if anything that God would teach me going through something, it would be his word. It would be his word. And to teach me to act on that word and to believe him and to pray according to his word. So the Bible tells us in James, the first chapter, verse 16 and 18. That sounded like you're from the University of Georgia. I need some Alabama shouts right now. That's better. That's better. All right, get back to the word. Get your mind. So James, the first chapter, verse 16 and 18 says this. I'm going to read this out of, as I read it, I'm reading it, and I'm going to take my time, and I'm going to put some other scriptures in it, because I want you to see the meaning of this. So it says, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. That's one of the first things that Jesus said concerning the last days. One of the first things out of his mouth when they said, tell us about the consummation and the end of times and all of this when your kingdom's coming. And the first thing out of his mouth was this, do not be deceived. Which means that there was going to be a lot of deception. You got to know who you're listening to. You got to know the word of God. So he says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Now, what you need to understand is, in context, what was he saying not to be deceived about? Well, let me read that to you from James, the first chapter, verse 12 through 13. He says this, Blessed is the man who endures temptation. And the word temptation there means this: testing, trials, and adversity. He said, blessed is the man who endures temptation, trial, adversity. He said, for when he has been approved, or when he has been tested. The devil uses temptations, trials, and adversities to test us so that we will fall and we will fail and we will give up and give in. In every adversity, temptation that comes that is externally, and you have to be very careful, because sometimes if you're not built up in the Word, you can give in to those temptations if you don't know how to deal with them. But every temptation that comes from the devil, trial, adversity, everything that's evil that comes from the kingdom of darkness, Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes, his platform, kill, steal, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's exactly what God is after. That's what God promotes. The devil promotes killing, stealing, and destroying, because he hates the human race. He hates God. We were created in his image. He hates the human race. So all he wants to do is kill what God loves, to destroy what God gives, to steal what God has blessed us with. That's his whole purpose. So here James is saying, do not be deceived, my brothers. This is after he has made this statement. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. That means this. That means that because the devil is in this world, because there are people who are operating in conjunction and in rebellion with the devil and with sin, and so many of them, like me, do not know that truth. They do not know that revelation, so they continue to allow the enemy to work in their hearts and to do everything they can to be antagonistic and oppose everything that is righteous or everything that is involved with God. That's where we have all the chaos and turmoil and stuff. So he said, when he's approved, or when he's been tested, which means you're going to walk through some things. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Peter said this in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. He said, don't be surprised when this fiery trial is coming your way. He said, it should not catch you off guard, even though the first thing was like, where did this come from? How did it happen? Yes, but you got to understand what we live in and who is in this world, and that you are hated by the kingdom of darkness. He said, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now listen to verse 13. Let not any denomination say. Let no theologian say. Some theologians need new brains, because they've been so open-minded that their old one has fallen out. I just wish that theologians, some of them would get born again, and I wish they would really study the Word of God and get revelation of God's love, God's mercy, and God's grace. He said, let no one say when he is tested, tried, tempted, that I am tried, tested, and tempted by God. So people say, well, does God test us? Our test is when the test comes, how do we react to the test? Our test is, what are we going to apply? When you get a test in school, it's because of what you have studied and now what you are applying to pass that test. It is the same thing with us. Our test when it comes to God is being obedient to Him and to apply His Word in every single occasion, in every test, every adversity, every trial, that we pray, we stand on the Word of God, we believe the Word of God. And if I have little faith or weak faith during this particular time, I get in, and what Pastor Cameron was teaching is, I get in and meditate on the Word. Meditate on the promises that of what I'm dealing with right now or what's going on in my life. I meditate on those promises until those promises, literally. The more you meditate on the word, after a period of time, you'll memorize it. Oh, Pastor, I've heard people say this. I had right over here, I had this young man say to me one time, he said, Pastor, I just can't memorize. And as soon as he said that, I looked at him and I said, what is 2 + 2? He said, 4. What is 2 × 2? 4. I said, where'd that come from? He looked at me and he said, thank you. Sometimes it's the simplest things that we can use. He said, let no one say, because if you go to the first part of James, he's responding to letters and responding to reports that are coming from the tribes, the 12 tribes that had been dispersed and scattered all over the known world at that particular time. And what they're basically saying to him is, God the one doing this to us? Is this evil? Did God allow it? Yes, he allowed it. And here's something that we need to understand and to know, and that is this. The kingdoms of this world that belong to the devil, which the Bible tells us belongs to the devils, have not yet become the kingdoms of our God. But the Bible says they will. They will become the kingdoms of our God. When Jesus comes back and God judges and does everything that he's going to do in the last days, and when you see that in the book of Revelation, yes, when there is a new heaven and a new earth, all the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. Because everybody will bow their knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and confess him Lord. So he said, so he's answering them, and I think would be a good answer today. Because that's the same thing the Lord spoke to my heart when I was having this conversation with him about what so many Christians are saying today. And he basically said to me again, my people are listening to what is being said from sources that they should recognize are voices of strangers instead of listening to what I have already written. And that's what we must understand in our lives. You can get so caught up, you can spend all day long listening to the news, and again, you're going to have to come back and let me pray for you for depression. And it is amazing that we allow principles and other things to be established in our life by listening to people that are not even born again, and we say, oh, they're telling the truth. Man. And then we wonder why we act the way we act and deal with all the things mentally we have to deal with. If you're listening to that, well, I got to know what's going on. The only reason you need to know what's going on is so you can keep praying. So that you can keep praying. When I heard what happened in Michigan, I started praying for Michigan. I started praying. But I'll tell you this. Yeah, Michigan, it happened there. But my prayer is I want to pray for the young people. Because there's an all-out onslaught of evil that are coming against our children. And the airways are full of it. I don't know if y'all saw this, but The authorities, you can look this up, but the authorities with that young man, they found images and stuff that he drew. And there was an image of a gun. And on the image of the gun, he wrote, this is before he ever did anything. He wrote back, he wrote back, and on the image of his gun, he said, please, please, I can't handle all these thoughts. Please, somebody help me stop these thoughts. Now, whether you want to believe in demonic spirits or not, if you don't believe in demonic spirits, you don't believe the Bible. Yes. Amen. Demons have not disappeared. They're not all over in the Middle East. They are all over this world. And especially as the church gets away from the gifts of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Word of God, they become more and more emboldened. I told you this, I mean, my heart has broken, and I've been texting and in contact with the family, but I'll never forget what Marcus Lamb said when he was here just a few months ago. And he asked me, he said, "Are you going to allow me to give an altar call?" And I was like, "What?" I looked at him, I said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "Well, my heart is so grieved." And I said, "Marcus," I said, "every time you've come here, you've given an altar call." And he said, "Well, the churches I go to now, which are very large churches, are told, they tell me that I cannot give an altar call. We don't do that anymore." God help us. God help us. I talked to one pastor who had a large church that didn't do altar calls, and I talked to him, and I said, "Why don't you do altar calls?" "Well, we leave that up to the people in our small groups or our life groups." I said, "Really?" I said, "Well, let me ask you one question." I said, "What about the young man who just came in our church not long ago, and the Spirit of God stopped me, literally stopped me, and said, 'There's someone here contemplating suicide.'" And I stopped, and I said, "The Spirit of God just showed me that there's somebody here contemplating suicide." And I said, "And you need to be born again, because you're no match for the devil. You need to be born again." And I stopped. I stopped the service that day and gave an altar call. And not only did that young man come down, but there were at least 15 people down here, and most of them young people that are dealing with suicide thoughts. Let me say this to moms and dads. You better start taking inventory in your own house, even your younger children. You better start taking inventory. The devil is not playing games. You know why? The Bible says when he knows that his time is short, he comes with a great wrath. He is the master deceiver. So many of our college kids go to college today thinking that they're going to be taught how to creatively think about things. And in most of our colleges, there is no such thing as creativity anymore. Creative thinking. There is now thinking that you are told what to think. And if you don't think the way they think, then they will shame you. Make you feel like something's wrong with you. Because, you know, everybody wants to be accepted. Nobody wants to be rejected. And I'm telling you, in this day and time, if you really want to be a real, true Christian, you may find yourself in some of the loneliest places and spots in the world. But that's the reason we have the body of Christ. That's the reason we're supposed to fellowship with one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, be around one another, which is so important for us. He said, "So let no one, when he's tempted," said, "I am tempted by God. I'm tried, tested. For God," and he's talking about evil. He's talking about evil. Every test we have, that we have in the body of Christ, is a test of obedience. Whether we will obey God or not. No matter what's going on, no matter what's happening, it is our test of obedience. So he said, that I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, tried or tested by evil, nor does he himself test, try anyone with evil. God does not do that. And when you're told that God puts sickness on people, sickness is evil. There's nothing good about it. Sickness literally is incipient death unless something is done. There's an intervention that takes place. Whether it's natural or whether you're taking some medicine, prayer, whatever it is, You know, God never created us for sickness, folks. Let me ask you this. Even if you don't know Jesus, when you get sick, you try to get well. You'll do everything you can to get well. You'll run to the medicine cabinet. You'll call the doctor. You'll do everything you can. That's embedded on the inside of us. I have never seen any human being, when they start getting sick, going, hallelujah, glory to God, bring it on, double it, triple it. I'm loving this. How you doing, brother? Oh, man, I'm just asking God for more sickness. I hope it comes on my whole family. So we can all enjoy it together. No, when your children get sick, you are on top of it. You are there. You're doing everything that you can. That's the reason the Bible says Jesus took our infirmities and bare our sickness in his own body. All right, now who, when he said, no, God cannot be tempted with evil, and he tempts no one with evil. So where is the evil coming from? Let's look at 1 John, the 5th chapter, verse 19. It says this. We know, I love the way the Amplified Bible puts this, because it gives definitions within the scripture. We know for a fact that we are of God and that the whole world around us lies in the power of the evil one opposing God and his precepts. Let me read that one more time because we really need to get a hold of this. We know for a fact that we are of God. If we know for a fact that we are a God, why are we acting at times like there is no God? Or he's not relevant in our lives? Or he's left us out? God, why? The reason, instead of saying, why God, you need to say, I know what's happening. I know what's going on. I know what's taking place. We know for a fact, two things, we are of God, and the whole world around us lies in the power of the evil one opposing God and his precepts. So if he's opposing God and we are the body of Christ and he is our Father, who is he opposing on this earth? He's opposing us. He's opposing the church. He's doing everything he can to get us into a place of being deceived, walking in fear, not believing that God is really relevant in my life. Oh, he does things for Pastor Al, but for me, did you know the Bible says that God shows no partiality? We're all one together. I just have a different title. But we're all the same. We're all one together. And what he's done for one, he'll do for every single one of us. We need to get out of this shame and guilt complex. We need to start living in the present tense of who I am, where I am, and what God has said about me, instead of allowing the devil to go into my past file cabinet and pull out files from my past and beat me over the head with it. And make me think because of what I have done, I can't receive for what God has promised. That I'm not good enough. I'm unworthy. And you know, a lot of you feel like that because think about when somebody wants to give you something. Oh, no. Oh, I can't. No, I can't accept that. Isn't it amazing we can give to other people, but when somebody wants to give to us, oh, I can't. I can't accept that. I can't accept. How much is it? No. I can't accept that. Oh, no, please. You know why? Here's the reason that you can't accept that is because you don't think you're worthy enough. You haven't done enough or you haven't earned enough to get what somebody wants to bless you with. And what do you start doing? You start rehearsing of all your mistakes. You start rehearsing all of these things. That's crazy. We start doing the inventory. I don't deserve this. I haven't done enough. I haven't done. Oh, Lord, I can't accept. Jesus, I haven't done enough. I'm not worthy enough. God says, you weren't, but I see you in my eyes of being worthy of my son and his death because I love you so much. Are you not more valuable than all of the animals on the planet? Yes, you are. And see, some of you right now are going back to your past. Well, if you knew my past. Your past, if you are a born-again believer, your past has been thrown as far as the east is from the west. It is in infinity. The blood of Jesus has cleansed you. You do not have a record. Your name is not on God's post office in heaven. Your picture is not there. When God sees you, he sees Jesus. This is one of the most amazing scriptures in the world to me. As he is, so am I in the world. How is Jesus right now? You are righteous. Well, if you knew what I did yesterday, you're still righteous. You're still righteous. Just because you did something in the flesh does not mean God removed his righteousness. If the Holy Spirit will come and convict us and saying, that's not who you are. That's not who you are. Well, I have these feelings from my past and my lifestyle, and I got all these feelings that are coming up. Your feelings are not you. Your flesh can be involved in things that lifestyles and other things that you're doing. Your flesh could be involved, and your flesh will have impulses. It'll have feelings. Well, I got delivered from this, and I looked at something, and oh my gosh, but that's not who you are. If you ever find a perfect church, let me know. But none of us would be able to join it. Every one of us have made mistakes. The key is, when I make a mistake, do I have conviction in my heart? And do I love God so much that when that conviction comes in my heart that I repent? Because I don't want to, if I do something to grieve the Holy Spirit, okay, I've done it, it's happened, and now I ask God forgiveness. The thing that we need to learn in the body of Christ is this: if I go out and do things in the flesh, I will reap. I can repent, and God will do everything he can to help me. But if you do something really crazy, you can repent, but you may have a prison ministry. You've got to think about the things that you do before you do them in the flesh. And the Bible is very clear. There's whatever a man sows in the flesh, he will reap in the flesh. Whatever he sows in the spirit, he will reap in the spirit. I want to sow in the spirit. Do I make mistakes in my own life in the flesh? Absolutely I do. I'm in progress. I've been walking with the Lord for 50 years. I'm still in progress. I'm still learning. Do I make mistakes? Yes, I make mistakes. Not anything like I used to when I was a young Christian. But I have learned from my mistakes. I have learned what it costs me to make bad decisions and give in to this flesh. I don't want to do that. So listen to this. So we know that the whole world lies under the power of who? The evil one that opposes God and his precepts. Okay, listen to this scripture. They who teach twisted doctrine. And by the way, the word doctrine there does not just refer to biblical teaching. Because we know that people can twist biblical teaching, because even Peter, when he was writing, said people take and twist what Paul says. Take it out of context. But this word right here, Doctrine, it means this. It means a set of beliefs, principles. You can look this up in the dictionary. Set of beliefs or principles or theories that are believed by a church, a political party, or any organization. That's in the dictionary. You can look it up for yourself. What we have to be able to do in renewing our mind to the Word of God, we need to understand what is the spirit of truth and what is the spirit of error. What is truth and what is lies? What is truth and what is deception? We must, as Christians, we must be able to discern that. If not, we're going to be on an emotional, spiritual roller coaster until Jesus comes back. And God wants you to be strong in your foundation. That's the reason the Bible tells all of us, study to show ourselves approved. So it says this. He says, they who teach twisted doctrine are of the world and belong to it. Why is the body of Christ listening and believing so many things that are being said from the world's perspective, and it is contrary to what God says? Have we come into a period of time that we have become so gullible and so easily deceived? Because we're spending more time on social media than we are reading the Word of God. We have up on our website where I put up reading through the Bible in 1 year, and we can do that. I go through it all the time, sometimes, some mornings, not very often, but some mornings, I'm so tired, I sleep in, I get up, oh no! And I have to get dressed, and I have to go to work, so I didn't get the Word until I get home. But I don't beat myself up the whole day, wondering what's going to happen to me because I didn't read the Word. That is works. That is performance. God loves me because of what I do, not because of who I am, and because of who He is. So we've got to make sure that we're not. Jesus said, "My sheep do not hear the voice of a stranger. They're not. They hear it, but they're not going to follow it." Therefore, listen to this: they who teach twisted doctrine are of the world and belong to it. Therefore, they speak from the viewpoint of the world, with its immoral freedom and baseless theories, demanding compliance with their opinions and ridiculing the values of the upright. Let me go that. Is that on the screen back there behind me? Let me go through that one more time. Therefore, they speak from the viewpoint of the world with its immoral freedom and baseless theories, demanding compliance with their opinions and ridiculing the values of the upright. Ridiculing. What do they call us? They call us heretics. They call us racist, bias. They call us all kinds of names because we're standing for truth. If you don't think the devil is going to attack truth, that's the only thing that defeats him. Truth. Jesus, I am the truth. Truth defeats the devil. Truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The viewpoint of the world with its immoral freedom and immorality and the things that they talk about, that never sets anybody free. That keeps people in bondage. And that's what the devil wants. The devil wants people in bondage. He's against freedom. He's against liberties. Every single place where there is freedom and there are liberties, and anyone within that nation that is against those freedoms and those liberties are people who have been totally deceived and are being orchestrated by the devil because he hates freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom. Why do you think the devil, all of these years, has been, so smart? He's not a dummy. That he has taken prayer out of school. We have it back now. He's taken the Ten Commandments out of the courtrooms, because once you see the Ten Commandments, that brings conviction. He's taken all of these things gradually out of every sector, everything that he can, and he has replaced it all with his demonic doctrines, social doctrines. I mean, did you see in California that some of the teachers there are taking elementary students and teenagers to gay bars for a field trip? Introducing them to that lifestyle. Folks, I'm going to tell you, the devil is not asleep. A lot of the church is, but the devil is not asleep. He's doing everything he can to promote everything in his arsenal and in his educational area, everything that he can, he's doing it. And you know what the Bible tells us to do? The Bible tells us not only to expose the works of darkness, but we are to be praying, because when you go through what I just went through, and you read Daniel, and you read Jeremiah, you read Ezekiel, you go through all of these things, I can tell you right now, I have the greatest peace in the world. You know what kind of peace that I'm walking in right now, that I have inside of my heart? God has got a plan. He knows what he's doing in the nation. I mean, a lot of people right now saying, what is God doing? I'm just telling you right now, I have total peace. I've been reading the book. He has got a plan. He knows exactly what he's doing. I am not fretting. I am not worried about this, but will I preach the Word of God, and will I do everything I can to tell people that immorality, abortion, and other things is totally, completely wrong? Absolutely. Will I go down and pray at the abortion clinic? Yes, I will go down and pray. Will I stand for what is right and what is righteous and what is just? Yes, I will stand for that, and I will do it. And will I pray that God will move for a great awakening in our nation? Will I pray that God will open the eyes of his people, that we will begin to pray? If we pray, there is one thing that God said: if my people, not the Republicans or the Democrats or the Independents or the Libertarians, he said, if my people will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and prayer. Man, read Daniel, read Jeremiah, read Lamentations, read Ezekiel. God can turn any nation at any moment, any time. God can handle that, but he needs people to pray. Says that all through the Bible. I can't believe how many promises that God says, I will do this, 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 this. I'll do this for Israel. I'll do this, 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 this. I'm going to do this, 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 this. And he said, and I will do it when they inquire of me. We're actually supposed to be praying for our government leaders. We're not supposed to be cursing them. We're not supposed to be saying certain statements that's so popular right now. We're not be saying that. I'm going to tell you that. We keep doing that. We're acting just like the world. We keep doing that. You're not going to see anything turn around. You're going to be disgusted, disrupted, busted. But when we get to what 1 Timothy, the second chapter, says, and it tells us as a church, pray for your leaders so that we can live a quiet and peaceful life. He said, pray for them. I pray for their salvation. I pray that God will send laborers across their path. I pray for those that are intent on evil and will not repent and will not listen to the gospel. I'm asking God, they're in your hands. You do something with them. And I'm going by what I see. I will not be caught up in all of this that the church is caught up in right now. I'm going to be caught up in the Word. I'm going to be caught up in the Spirit. I'm going to be caught up in what God has told me to do. And that's where I'm keeping my focus. That's where I'm doing it. I have plenty of people have gotten mad with me and left this church. It's because I won't get into all of this political stuff. That is in God's hands. I vote. That is my plan. I vote. I will speak concerning these issues that God has said out of His Word. I will speak out of His Word. But I'm not using this pulpit because political views cannot disciple God's people. What you do politically, that's between you and God. I'm sticking to the Word. He told me, preach the Word only. He said, disciple. Disciple, disciple, disciple. If you allow yourself to be disciple, you won't have to worry about what to do, which is right. You will discern between what is right and what is wrong. You will discern. And you do not have to have a victim's mentality. Look at what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Look what he accomplished by literally living and walking in the love of God. But everything he expressed, everything he did was based on the Word of God. It's all over his, look at his memoirs, look at his messages, look at everything. It was all because of the love of God. And it ended up costing him his life. Just like it cost Jesus his life. Just like it cost many apostles and the disciples their life to stand and walk in love and stand on truth. It's getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. We must stand for truth, and we cannot get out of love. Amen. I don't even have time. You're going to get all my notes. I'm nowhere near. But let me just say this. Love never fails. Why does the devil attack love? Because love is God. Why does he attack love? Because love never fails. Even though it may look like you're losing, you can't lose. If you operate in out of love, you cannot lose. Even faith works by love. Every single time that you and I get out of walking in love, and the Bible says, pray for your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. When's the last time you've done that? He says, bless those who persecute you. The guy that persecuted me when I was working in business, the guy that persecuted me the most, and every time he persecuted me, would cuss me and say things about me, I would say, I bless you in the name of Jesus. That would make him so mad. He would just get so mad. And the Bible says when you do that, it heaps hot coals on top of somebody's head. I would say, I bless you. And I said, and here's what I said. And many of you have heard this testimony. I said, brother, just bring it on. I mean, throw down on me. Come on, bring it on. He said, you are crazy. I said, I'm crazy for Jesus. I said, I'm crazy. He said, why would you say something like that? Because the Bible tells me that every time you cuss me, every time you persecute me, God blesses me even more. Bring it on, brother. He said, you're crazy. You have lost your mind. You're crazy. But when he was in a serious situation, his life was falling apart, he came to me and asked me, could he go to church with me? And that Sunday, he got saved. And he became one of my best friends. And for a solid year, that guy put me through the ringer. And every single time I said, I wanted to hit him. I wanted to hit him. I wanted to get a stick. I wanted to get a broom. I wanted to get anything I could. My flesh, that's exactly what my flesh. And every single time the Holy Spirit would say, bless him. And I would just. And I would bless him. I kept doing it. And it's amazing. The more I did it, the more I loved it. I said, I like this. This is great. I like this. I mean, you got to understand. And he went to Tabor City to find out. You got to understand, the town that I grew up in, we grew up fighting. We fought. He found out. He went and asked somebody. That's how we grew up. So this was a major change for me. So I started doing I said, God, I'll do exactly what you said. He said, if you'll do it, I'll bless you. And I just started doing it. I just started blessing. I just started blessing. And unbelievable. I was in sales at that time, and I went from a salesman to vice president of that corporation. And that even made him madder. And every single time I said, I forgive you, bro. And every single time he looked at me and he said, you're just crazy. I said, I am. I'm crazy for Jesus. I am. I am. And that would make him even more mad until the day he got saved. And he came to me with tears in his eyes, weeping and crying. And he said, can you forgive me for everything that I said and everything I put you through and everything I talked about behind your back? Can you forgive me? And I said, bro, Jesus forgave you. I totally 100% forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. And he said, he looked at me and he said, I've never had so much peace in my life. He said, if I only knew. And I said, hey, I went through the same thing. I was blinded as you were. I was as stupid as you were, dumb as you were. And I said, I went through the same identical thing. And I said, I got saved. Jesus turned my whole life around. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. I wouldn't trade it for nothing. Nothing. You can't take this joy and peace from me. Nothing. I love it. And I've been walking in it now going on 51 years. And I'll keep walking in it until the day I walk into heaven. And I'm not going to stop. And in all of this darkness, all I want to do is tell people about Jesus. I want to be the light in the middle of this. I want my life and my lifestyle to say something. That's what I want. Can you say amen? Amen.